Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1321 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is important in order to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, it is required that we also have a proper understanding of God and His Word. Our focus for the next several months on Worldview Wednesday is Mastering the Bible through a series of brief insights. These insights are extracted from a book by the same title from one of today's most prominent Hebrew scholars, Dr. Michael S. Heiser. This book is a collection of insights designed to help you to understand the Bible better. When we let the Bible be what it is, we can understand it as the original readers did and as original writers intended. Each week, we will explore two additional insights. So the insights for today, Mastering the Bible, is excavation and timelines. Insight number 37. Most of the cities and towns mentioned in the Bible have not been excavated. If you ask someone where the events of the Bible took place, chances are you'd get an answer like, well, in Israel or the Holy Land. That is, of course, true, but the statement is imprecise and to a significant extent not quite complete. There are hundreds of sites mentioned in the Bible that are connected to the events of the biblical saga. Some are the setting for just one event, while others are crucial focus points for many episodes in the history of Israel and the work of Jesus and the apostles. Only a small percentage of the places in the Bible have been excavated by archaeologists. Archaeology regularly yields information that illumines the biblical world and the stories that we read in the scripture. The fact that many of the sites in Israel have not been excavated or even discovered is important for Bible students in several respects. First, the circumstances of biblical events are often framed by their location. Biblical places have a long history, either positive or negative, and that history creates a backdrop for why the biblical writer may have included it in the story. By the way of a more modern example, let's think of Robert E. Lee's refusal to accept President Lincoln's offer of command over the Army of the Potomac is incomprehensible when we learn that Lee was from Virginia. Lee was no apologist for slavery. Given the proximity of the army offered to him and to his home state, Lee could not bear the thought of invading his home state and killing fellow Virginians. Lee's personal attachment to the geography of the situation prompted his decision. In terms of the Bible, when sites cannot be located or go unexcavated, some details of the Bible interpretation may remain unclear. Archaeology becomes a hermeneutical aid. The second point is, excavation sites often help us to clear up Bible difficulties or perceived errors in the biblical text. The history of biblical scholarship has numerous examples how archaeology clears up an apparent dilemma that lends credibility to biblical details. For example, an inscription discovered at Tel Dan, discovered in 1993, contains what most scholars regard as verifiable reference to the House of David. Seals, which are small pieces of pressed clay, bearing the names of the biblical kings, serve to validate their existence. Archaeological work in Israel is a work in progress. When hostile critics attack the Bible on the flawed presumption that all the data that could illuminate the discussion has been discovered, their conclusion just assumes too much. Next, let's move on to insight number 38, which is the book of Joshua through 2 Kings were likely written by the same person or persons at the same time. The first Old Testament book after the Torah, which were the first five books of the Bible, was the book of Joshua, and it describes the conquest of the land of Canaan by the Israelites. Joshua marks a transition for the people of Israel to a settled nation. The book that follows it, Judges, chronicles a nation failing to drive out all the foreign inhabitants of the land, along with its consequences. It includes many stories in the saga of one family during the period of Judges, Naomi and Ruth. After that, it wraps up the end of the rule of the local judges in favor of a monarchy of kings. particularly King David in 1 and 2 Samuel, and the sad story on how the monarchy fell into ruin after the end of the reign of Solomon, which was David's son, and recorded in 1 and 2 Kings. Collectively, these books take up a lot of space in the Old Testament and a lot of the biblical story. It may surprise you to learn that all of these books are anonymous. None of them have a name or even a hint of an author. They do present a theological unified picture of the cost of losing faith in God and living in disobedience to Him. The book from Joshua through 2 Kings proclaim in one voice that the ultimate disastrous judgment of the God of Israel, which was exile, was due to the sins of Israel. And this is due especially to the matter of idolatry. Each book builds the case in painstakingly detail that the awful judgment of the exile was entirely justified. Anyone living in those dark days of the breakdown of the nation or afterward would only need to read Joshua through 2 Kings to know that Israel got what they deserved. The course of warnings and condemnation is the main reason why many scholars believe that the books were written by the same person or persons, and therefore at the same time. Because the condemnation of idolatry is so strong and presented as fact in much of the material, scholars propose that the material was written sometime shortly after the northern kingdom of Israel, the Ten Tribes, was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. How could this happen? Where was God? Joshua through 2 Kings answers those questions. God was there all the time, but Israel had turned their backs on Him. Consequently, God used the Assyrians to judge them. At the same time, this terrible message was intended to save the remaining two tribes from the same fate. The people of Judah, the southern kingdom, could learn from this epic horror and stay loyal to God and His law, trusting Him to protect them. Sadly, though, the southern kingdom faltered. God raised the prophets to direct the people back to Himself, often reminding them of what had happened to their relatives. But in the end, the last two tribes would suffer the similar end, this time to the hand of Babylon. But God anticipated the failure and vowed to keep the remnant of faithful believers alive and send a future deliverer. We need to read these books as a hindsight warning that they are. They provide us a valuable lesson about the human heart, the cost of sin, and God's mercy. The Israelites needed, as we do, to follow God's exhortation to Joshua when he took over the leadership of the nation of Israel. And this is found in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead the people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that will conclude this week's lesson from another two insights from Dr. Heiser's book, Mastering the Bible. Next Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with two additional insights. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday an interesting topic to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will continue with a 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So I encourage your friends and family to join us and to come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,320 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day's trek will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor, but most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek podcast and journal each day. And as we take this trek of life together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and then leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey, and then create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.